Tonight, if you will, open your Bibles with me to Galatians, the letter of Galatians, chapter 4. I want to speak to us tonight on a subject that is found in this question of the Apostle Paul to believers in the churches of Galatia. Here in chapter 4 and verse 15, he asked, "Where is then the blessedness you spake of?" The subject is blessedness. Now, what are we to understand from this question but that some had lost the blessedness that they had once enjoyed? They lost it by entertaining a message different from the gospel of Jesus Christ. A message that was different from the message that Paul preached. What was the message that Paul preached? You know, I believe that passage in Acts chapter 13 can sum it all up so well. When he was in that synagogue preaching to Jews and Gentiles and people that were zealous for the law, people that were proselytes to Jewish religion, he said, "Through this man," speaking of Christ, "through this man," and he had gone through everything about Christ, how he came into this world, "through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." This is the message. This is the message that Paul preached. "Through this man," through Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, not by your works, not by rituals and ceremonies and all of the things that men have come up with over the years, but rather by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." If you will, notice here in Galatians 4, in verses 10 and 11, he said, "You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." Where did the idea concerning days and months and years come from? It came from these false teachers who had come into Galatia and were saying, "Yes, the message of Christ, that's good, but..." "But you also must observe the law of Moses." And part of that law concerned days and months, special worship services on different days of the months. You know, you read through the law and you see the first day of the month, the new moon, and just the Sabbath days and so forth and so on. If you notice down in verse 21, he said, "Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" Do you not hear the law? In other words, isn't Christ enough? Isn't Christ enough? When the scriptures tell us that we are accepted in the beloved, isn't Christ enough? When the scriptures tell us that we are complete in him, isn't Christ enough? Then why would we want to add something to the message, to the gospel of Jesus Christ? That through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. But as I said, it seems obvious here that some of these believers, at least, they had lost that blessedness that they once enjoyed, that happiness, that joy in serving the Lord. In fact, if you notice there in that text, verse 15, Paul says, at one time you would have plucked out your eyes and have given them to me. In other words, they appreciated, they loved the Apostle Paul and the gospel message of Jesus Christ so much, and they were so filled with joy and thanksgiving and praise, they, Paul said, would have been willing to pluck out their own eyes and give unto him. But that wasn't the case any longer. Not with some of them, because he asked this question, where is then the blessedness you spoke of? Now, I must make something absolutely clear in looking at this question. Something absolutely clear as we think about some who no longer had the blessedness that they once enjoyed. Now, listen to me. The state of true believers is always blessed. It can never be anything else but blessed. That is, the state of true believers is always blessed. Every person who is born from above and in union with Christ by faith is blessed, is happy. Everyone delivered from condemnation and an heir of eternal life and no longer under the wrath of God is blessed. The blessedness, or this blessedness, doesn't have to do with our state, but it has to do with our experience. Our experience. Those who know Christ, those who are in union with Christ, those whose sins have been forgiven, those who have been adopted into the family of God are blessed. And they will always be blessed. There's no doubt about that. But the blessedness here has to do with the believer's experience, not our state, not our relationship to God, but our experience. When a child is born into a family, now the experience may vary. Sometimes he may disobey his parents, and the relationship or the experience may vary, but the relationship will always be the same. He'll always be that man's son, that woman's son. Always. Never. Nothing's going to change that. And when a person is born of the Spirit of God, born into the family of God, we will always be his children. Nothing is going to change that. Nothing. But our experience, the blessedness, the happiness, the peace, the joy, as we go through this world, it may vary. And no doubt it does. Well, what would you think would be or should be included in the blessedness of a believer in this world? In other words, a true believer, child of God, he's blessed in his state, his relationship to God, but in his experience, what would always or should always be true of that believer? Well, I have five things I want to mention. First, the blessedness of true believers will consist in the knowledge and the assurance of being accepted in the beloved. Now, believing in Christ, trusting in Christ, and having assurance of salvation are two different things. They are two different things. And I know this from the Word of God. If you want to look in 1 John for just a moment, chapter 5. There have been, back through history, those who have taught that if a person has true faith, then he has assurance. And if he doesn't have assurance, he doesn't have faith. But that's not what the Scriptures teach. That's not what the Word of God reveals unto us. It's one thing to believe, to trust in Christ. It's something else to have assurance of that eternal life that we receive. And we see this here in chapter 5 of 1 John in verse 13, where the apostle said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Now look, that you may know, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. To be in a state of uncertainty, a child of God, to be in a state of uncertainty, am I saved? or am I not saved? If I were to die tonight, would I go to be with the Lord or would I not? A state of uncertainty. I don't believe anyone would call that state or that experience a blessed one. The anxiety that a person would experience. Now, the Lord has provided us in His Word the truth about His purpose in the Lord Jesus to give us a strong consolation, to give us assurance. Remember in Hebrews chapter 6, we are told that by two immutable things. One thing is God's Word. God's Word is never going to change. It's like He is. He's immutable. He doesn't change, and His Word doesn't change. But two immutable things, that is God's Word and God's oath. The Scripture tells us that God took an oath. As we would swear, so God took an oath. And because there's none greater, He swore by Himself. So we have these two immutable things revealed to us, God's Word and God's oath, that everyone that flees for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ finds refuge. Everyone. Now, when a person is inside the refuge, he's safe. Just like in the Old Testament, in those cities of refuge, when the manslayer fled to the city of refuge, he was safe until it could be decided legally. But notice here in the gospel, in 1 John chapter 5, these things, John says, have I written unto thee that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. There are several marks that he gives us here in this epistle. I especially love just that one in verse 1 of chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Can you say with the Apostle Peter, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's one mark. But notice another one here in chapter 3, still in this same letter, chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. That's a new birth. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Do you love the brethren? Are you so thankful and grateful that you have been born into God's family, been adopted into His family, and your brothers and sisters are those that you love? You love to be with them. You love to encourage them, to help them as God gives you opportunity. You love the brethren. And then another one in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. And verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Do you love God? I know most all of us would respond to that question. Yes, I love God, but not like I want to. But here's the thing. We love Him because He first loved us. Had He not first loved us, we would never come to love Him. And notice this other one, this last one in chapter 5 and verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Now, most commentators have looked at this in two different ways. He that is born of God sinneth not. That which is born of God in you, that new nature, is created in righteousness and true holiness. It doesn't sin. Now, It is true we still have the flesh, that old nature, but that new nature, whosoever is born of God, sinneth not. And then others, whosoever is born of God, does not practice sin, does not continue to live practicing sin, because he's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But keep focused. In order to enjoy this blessedness, this happiness, then as believers, you and I, we must keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done, where he is, to assure us, to make it certain in our hearts that we are God's children, recognizing that what Christ did, he cannot fail. His work cannot fail. You know, I'm convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I am. I believe that he is the eternal Son of God who came into this world as a man. And therefore, whatsoever he purposed to do, he did, and it is accomplished. How could God fail? You tell me. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. I believe that God is sovereign, that he's God, period. And what he does, as the scripture says, is done forever. It's not going to be undone. Keep focused on Christ, who he is and his work and where he is now. What a blessing it is to remind ourselves just now. He's there at the Father's right hand praying for us, interceding for us, for all who come unto God by him. Keep focused on that. And also, don't forget the everlasting or the new covenant of grace. Remember the words of King David when he came down to the end of his life. He confessed that, although my house be not so with God, my life certainly isn't the way I would have had it to have been, the way I would have lived. I would have lived closer to the Lord. I would have served him more fervently. Although my house be not so with God, yet, even so, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And he made that covenant with me in Christ. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Sure. Certain. So one thing about blessedness is when a person is assured that he is a child of God, no doubt, no question. You know, Paul's words, his challenge in Romans chapter 8 is for you, it's for me, it's for everyone who trusts in Christ. It's not just the words of an apostle. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who would dare come into the presence of God and charge one of God's elect with sin after Christ has paid for his sins? Who would do that? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And he does so based upon the righteousness of his Son. Who is he that condemneth? Who's going to condemn one of God's children? It's Christ that died. Who is he? He's the Son of God, manifest in the flesh. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Now, a lost person would stop right here. A lost person would reason, well, if I may be assured that I'm going to heaven no matter how I live, that's blessedness to me. But not for a child of God. That's just one part. A second thing that would have to be included in the blessedness of true believers will consist in having a conscience that is not troubled with particular sins, either of omission or commission. Now, I'm not saying that a true believer will ever in this life not be troubled because of his sinful nature. We know he will, because even the Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" But I'm talking about a particular sin in the life of a child of God, a sin that person loves and has no desire. He doesn't make any effort to forsake and to overcome it. He's not going to have this blessedness that we're talking about tonight. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, we read, Proverbs 28 and verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Confesseth and forsaketh them. No, when a true believer has some particular thing that troubles him, something he knows that isn't right, something he's living with, he'll never have this blessedness until he mortifies the deeds of the flesh, until he deals with this particular sin, whether it be one of omission or commission. A true believer, a child of God, is daily made aware of his many shortcomings, and he's always thankful for the blood of Christ, which cleanseth us from all sin. But it is when we try to overlook what our conscience troubles us with, when we try to overlook that, when our conscience makes us know it's wrong, it's something you shouldn't be engaged in, and rather than deal with it by confessing it and forsaking it, we excuse it. We begin to excuse it. And as we do, we lose the peace and the blessedness that is ours to enjoy. A third thing, the blessedness of true believers will consist in communion with the Lord in the means of grace. You know, we talk about, or writers do, about the means of grace. I know all grace is in Christ, but there are means of grace. Reading the Word of God is one. And as one writer put it, when we read the Word of God, not like a lawyer reading a will. He's reading the will and he's making sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed and everything is legal and up to score with the law. Don't read it like that, but read it as an heir reads the will. Read it as an heir reads the will, as descriptions of what he's going to receive, what I'm going to receive. What joy when you read the Word of God and know that you have an interest in these things. It's not just doctrine. Now, we love doctrine, and all teaching is doctrine. But you can know the doctrine of reconciliation, the doctrine of adoption, the doctrine of election. I mean, just go on down the line. But it's knowing these things as they relate to me. It's my reconciliation. It's not just a doctrine. I've been reconciled unto God. I have peace with God. We talk about adoption. It's not just a doctrine on paper that we study and get it all right in our minds, you know, how when we were adopted and all of that. People argue about these different things and they miss the blessing. They miss the blessing. And not only is reading the scriptures a means of grace, but hearing the gospel, to hear the gospel preached and to hear the voice of your Savior, your beloved, as the Word of God is going forth. And oh, to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ as the gospel is preached. You know, some people come into a service like this, and when they leave, they can tell you how many panels are in the ceiling. They can tell you how many lights we have in this building. And they can tell you what the preacher had on. Everything but what is important. What is important? That we hear of our Savior and hear our Savior speaking to us in the message, in the gospel. And then praying. That's a means of grace. Pouring out your heart to Him who you know not only hears you, He does hear you, you know that, but more than that, He is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. The fourth, the blessedness of true believers will consist in resting upon the Lord's faithfulness and care. To rest ourselves upon Him, to guide us, to protect us, to be our help in trouble. Just to lean upon Him. No matter what the trouble may be, to rest on Him. You know, in Psalm 57, David was able to say, I will cry unto God Most High. Now listen. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Huh? Yes. He was a child of God, and he knew that. And every other child of God, we may confess the same thing, that God performeth all things for me, that everything that has to do with my life, with me in this world, God is in control of these things. He performeth all things. We like that, all things, don't we? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He said, well, I don't understand it. I don't understand these things. We don't have to understand it. We're talking about resting. And you know, I've given you this before, but I like it. The old preacher said, I can't understand how brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. I don't understand that. That's what he said. But he said, I love to drink that milk. And there are things, certainly when it comes to God's providence, we're not going to understand in this life. We're just not going to understand. It's not God's purpose that we do. But the blessedness of a child of God is to be able to rest and knowing that He performeth all things for me. In this world where everything is said to be uncertain, to rest in knowing that for God's children, nothing is uncertain. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. And the last thing that I would mention, the blessedness of true believers will consist and feeling His Spirit joyful and active. When your spirit is joyful and active in serving the Lord, for what other purpose has God left us here? And sometimes we might envy that thief that was saved just a few hours before he left this world. And our Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We might envy certain things about that. But God usually doesn't take a person home immediately after salvation. He leaves us here in this world. And what is his purpose in leaving us here in this world other than that we might serve him? And how do we serve him? By serving his people. A person who only thinks of himself, that person will never know this blessedness. Every believer, every child of God, we are all debtors. We're debtors to God's grace and God's love. And though we recognize ourselves as unprofitable servants, we do love to show our thankfulness, our gratefulness for his love and for his grace. And how do we do that? In serving him. As long as he leaves us here in this world and gives us strength, we want to serve him. And we may serve him just by suffering. Many have. Many have served him by suffering physical ailments. Some have served him by suffering poverty. And yet, when I say served him, that even in the midst of these trials and troubles, they keep a good spirit. They project a good spirit. I know someone personally that just looking at physically, you would think would have no reason not to be mad at God because of what's happened in this person's life. And yet every time I see her, well, I said it was her. I was trying not to do that. But every time, she has the most joyful spirit, most contented spirit. She knows, and she is convinced that what has happened to her and in her life was not by accident, by God's choice and design, and it does not negate his love for her. God doesn't change, and his love, it never ceases. Well, I pray the Lord would bless these thoughts to you and I here tonight. The blessedness. What a blessing it is to know Christ.